T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This man was kind enough to push it back a few minutes as we talked to Trevor Bauer. So first, we thank him on that. He's also one of the great football writers out there. He's Bob Glauber of Newsday. Bob, how you been?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Gentlemen, I'm good. Thank you for having me. I completely understand. I mean, there's some certain news going on in Major League Baseball that you gotta get the principals involved.
No doubt. We almost forgot this week that there are football games this weekend.
Yep.
It almost slipped our mind, almost. But not quite. Not quite.
You got picks for this weekend?
I got picks.
Yeah.
You want them now?
Yeah, why not? Because I want to get into the Hall of Fame stuff with you.
All right, but, like, all right, I got a question for Evan, though.
Go ahead.
Yes. Go ahead.
Did Best misquote you, or did he get it right?
Did Best misquote
me? Neil
what did he say?
Oh, no, no.
What did he say?
Well, he wrote that story where he came in the other day. No, I think it was all good.
Thank you for that, by the way.
It was all accurate. I did say that, Joe. What did I say about Joe? Let me just make sure everything was right there.
What did you say?
What did I say about him?
You said you're riding until you die.
Nice. I said I want Joe
until I die.
I think I said
not
I want
you die.
Not you
you're
die.
You're gonna ride till you know. It's an expression, Joe. It's not.
No,
really
I
death.
Understand. It's, no, I get that.
I said I want.
Very complimentary of you.
Well, because it's all true. The idea of splitting us up was an idea.
It was something that neither of us were very keen on.
Right.
I'll say that.
No,
right.
Neil did a good job. It was all accurate. The one thing, can I call Neil out about something?
Go ahead.
No, Joe already knows about this, but Bob, you'll even laugh. Neil says to me, you know, I wanted to do this story a couple years ago on you, but we didn't get around to it. And I'm like, dude, it's because we're an afternoon drive now. Don't give me this BS of, I wanted to do it last year when you guys were doing middays. BS.
Best didn't even know who we were 3 years ago.
Okay, now I'm gonna defend my man Neil because I totally believe him on that.
Okay.
I mean, he has done features on non-drive time.
You're right.
Okay.
He totally has.
You're right. Fair enough. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob. What are you going to say, Bob?
Evan, I really did want to do that story on you a couple of years ago.
I really it's a good did. Imitation.
Oh, is this Neil? I thought it was Chernoff.
By the way, Joe.
Hi, it's Neil Best. anyone who knows Neil Best and is a friend of Neil Best and has been called by Neil Best, hi, it's Neil Best.
That's a good imitation.
Well, Bob,
we have to tell Joe because Joe may not know this. Do you remember at the beginning of the football season, I had you on and I brought up Neil Best's Super Bowl pick because it annoyed me? Do you know what his Super Bowl pick was, Joe?
I have no clue, but I'm going to say probably teams playing this weekend.
Nope.
What was Neil Best
predicted?
I can't wait to hear this.
The Adam Gase-led New York Jets to win the Super Bowl.
Delirious?
Oh,
What lifetime was Neil Best living in? What was that, Bob? Did somebody mention it to him? It's only 51 years, and what makes me think that's ever going to happen, and especially with Adam Gase? Did he?
I know. Neil, listen, Joe, don't take it personally. Neil has a history of picking kind of out-of-the-box type teams to win it all. Like, I think he had the Lions a couple of years ago.
The Lions.
I don't think it was their 0-16 season, but it was shortly thereafter. He picked the Jets this year. He picked the Dave Brown Giants to win the Super
Dave
Bowl.
Dave Brown Giants.
You know, Best likes to be different. He's a contrarian.
He likes to be wrong, obviously, too.
Well, he ends up being wrong, but we still love him.
Yeah, I guess so.
So what are your picks?
Yeah, what do you got this weekend?
Well, what do you want to know? My picks before the playoffs began?
No, we want to know who you like in these games.
Well, I want to give you my picks before we begin, because then you'll know my picks this weekend.
Okay.
Before the playoffs started, before the season started, I had the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Got to stick with that.
You got to stick with that, right.
Before the
playoffs. Which was a solid pick going into the year.
Right? Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Okay. Before the playoffs started, I had the Chiefs beating the 49ers.
Oh.
So those are my picks.
Wow.
Who did you have?
Man, I'm so wrong about picking NFL games that I might as well just ride it when I'm like reasonably close now.
Well, we're right there with you with the bad picks, that's for sure.
Who'd you have in the NFC before the season? Because you left that part out conveniently.
Before,
I'm just saying.
I probably – no, you know, I had the Rams. I did
okay,
have the Rams.
That's fine.
Back.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going back to back. Yeah. You were very wrong about that, but that's
it
okay.
It never happens, and I knew it, but I – whatever.
You figured, yeah, you know. What the heck, right?
Yeah. I like Sean McVay. I think he's a bright coach, and I thought they had the wherewithal to get there, and, you know, I was wrong.
Were you shocked the Ravens got whacked like they did last week?
A little bit, yeah. I was at that game, and it was like, all right, it starts out, and you just kind of, wow, this is just like the Patriots game, and I'm like, what's happening here?
Right, right.
And it just progressively got worse. The Ravens were not ready to play. You know, that last game where Harbaugh rested his key starters, I think it hurt him. And Lamar Jackson was just out of sorts. I think the injury to Mark Ingram was bigger than they realized because it really took them out of their ability
to run
the game with somebody else besides Lamar. And, you know, the turnovers, you know, they're not used to playing from behind. They had not played from behind hardly at all this season, and they couldn't deal with it. And Tennessee, it was a tremendous game plan by Mike Vrabel, and you got to hand it to him to getting this far. With this team is a pretty good accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him. I want to see him win. I really
do.
Because they're an old style tail. I love the old style smash mouth football, especially in the world of fantasy football that we live in. I absolutely love it. I really do.
So you want to show these young punks how it used to be.
Well, if you look at these teams, I mean, outside of really the Chiefs, everybody. I mean, the Niners had that drive last week where they had a 12 play. Every play was a run. Against Minnesota, and even the Packers run the ball a lot more than it's not just Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball down the field now. So
no, I agree. I think the running game is underrated. You know, stats for running, they're very strong in recent years. I mean, it's a passing league, but it's a healthy running league, and teams score a lot of touchdowns on the ground, more than people realize, and a good running game is still a reliable and dependable part of our football.
You know what
I think
what I think it is? I think it's the way it's happening that's so different. First of all, you've got so many quarterbacks that are running the football well. You've got more runs out of the pistol formation, more runs out of shotgun. You've got, in San Francisco's case, the three different running backs as to compared to the bell cow. I think with Tennessee, it feels more old school, not just the running stats in general. It's the way they're doing it that feels old school.
And who the guy is that's running it, because he reminds me of Jimmy Brown. I mean, not that he's Jimmy Brown.
Oh, I know. I saw him in the hotel. I stayed at their hotel, happened to be there the night before, and he was in the lobby. And I'm like, this man is just mountainous, and he's just a specimen, and he's got a presence about him. And I'm like, wow. And to watch him on the field is, you know, you're watching a running back in his prime is a great thing to watch in the NFL, and a special one I'm talking about. You know, Dickerson, Brown, years and years ago, the great ones when they are at that time, and this is where Derrick Henry is. It's a pleasure to behold that because. You know it's special. It doesn't happen all the time. And when they're at that peak, it's like, oh, man, they are just a cut above. Terrell Davis was like that as well.
Yeah. Now, there's been a few of them. There's been a few.
In a league in which the position has been devalued as far as how much money is spent on a guy, he's a free agent. Like, how's he going to do in free agency?
He'll do great, man, because, you know, they do take some exceptions with running back. Ezekiel Elliott got a big contract. And I think the same will happen to Derrick Henry. Just a handful, but they will get it. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell got that's a pretty big contract for a 27-year-old running back. He got paid not as much as he wanted to. So I think there is still value and there is still a market, but just for the handful of elite running backs. And Saquon is going to be in that group when his contract is up.
What'd you think of Joe Judge being hired?
You know, out of the box, but I get it. You know, the Giants are looking for a disciplined guy like that, and I think, you know, he checked a lot of boxes for them. I know he blew him away in the interview process, and, you know, John Mara couldn't be happier to land a guy like this. But, you know, look, it's a quantum leap from special teams coach in New England to head coach of the New York Football Giants, and it's going to take the guy some time. But I do think he has good football vision in terms of what he wants from his team. And, man, I'm listening to him at that press conference and listening to it, and I'm imagining how players are looking at that presser and what they're thinking. And they're like, oh, man, I gotta work. Oh, it's gonna hurt, you know. But that's what you gotta do, and you gotta be a tough-minded, tough physical football team. In most cases, now you know, you get some schools of thought where there's more of a less physical aspect, more mental aspect. Walsh started that, but then yeah, it's a tough league, and Belichick and Parcells, that whole mindset is, you gotta be tough to play in this tough game, and I like the fact that he's gonna have live tackling, and he's gonna stress that. Belichick has done that for years. They do it, they win with it, and it's just the way it is. But those players are gonna be it's gonna be a tough training camp for him. Believe me.
Talking to Bob Glauber, of course, does a great job covering the NFL. I'm very happy to see another Jet in the Hall of Fame. Winston Hill got in, So I'm very happy about it. That's five now, six if you want to count Riggins. I guess you could throw seven if you want Weeb in there, but. But I look at it as we have a solid now five Hall of Famers. Joe Klecko should be in as well, but we all know that deal, you know?
Yeah. I think Klecko has look, it's going to be tough. He didn't get into the finals in this group, but I love that Winston Hill got in. The guy's been to the Pro Bowl eight times.
Yep.
Namath swears by the guy. And, it's too bad he's not alive to kind of feel that thrill of being in. But it's, better late than never with that.
Yep, no doubt.
Which of the, because it's interesting, we're having a huge class, a 20-person Hall of Fame class this year. Mm-hmm. Of the ones that were just announced, we had a couple of head coaches, we had some of the senior members. Which guy jumped out at you is, finally, they got this right, this guy needed to be here long ago?
George Bernard Young.
Why do you think it took George Young? So, because obviously we appreciate him here in New York. Why do you think it took so long?
That's a weird one, Evan. Many years ago, I want to say 10 years ago, George Young got to the finals in the Hall of Fame room. I was not there. Maybe it was like 15 years ago, whenever he was like beginning of his eligibility. And Vinny Detrani, the Bergen Record, was the Hall of Fame presenter at that time. And George got into the finals. So the finals is an up or down vote, okay? And you got to get 80%. When you make it to the finals, it is really rare that you don't get in. You know, you got that far. The winnowing down process is a very intense thing. And who's going to, not vote for a guy who makes the final? Well, Young didn't get in there. It was a shocker. And he never got back. And I don't know what the reason is. Maybe it was, Parcells always had something against Georgia. I think he has softened over time. And I think that had something to do with, the Hall of Fame voters knew that Parcells had kind of come of age and kind of realized that George was good for him and good for the Giants, better. Because, Parcells was almost fired by George Young because of that 3-12-1 mm-hmm. season. So I think there was just a general, Wolf and Polian got in as general manager, and Beathard got in as general manager before George Young. And George Young's teams beat Beathard's teams, and he beat Polian's team, the Buffalo Bills. So it was a tough thing to figure out, and I kind of brought it up in the Hall of Fame room. I said, I kind of stressed, look, we've got this guy who deserves to be in, and it's hard to tell what's in a voter's head as to why he would keep a certain guy out. But I think George was the guy that I really did kind of breathe a sigh of relief, because I've believed in his work. He has been terrific. He set that franchise on a positive course after 15 disastrous years that bottomed out in 78 with the fumble when Herman Edwards returned that fumble for a touchdown, and that was the bottom of the franchise, and George Young kind of lifted him up and got things going and won two championships before he retired.
Yeah, the best thing that ever happened to him was that fumble. We're talking to Bob Glauber, of course, does a great job with football. I got one gripe over this veteran committee or whatever, that voted in George Young and Winston Hill and all that. Here's the one that bothered me. Doesn't Drew Pearson go in the Hall of Fame before Harold Carmichael?
Yeah, yep. I Carmichael, and I got to see him. I covered him.
He was good. I mean, he was a very good receiver. There's no doubt about it.
Good, not great.
Right. He wasn't Drew Pearson in my mind.
Right. I think Pearson was a better receiver, and it was sad to see that. Drew Pearson is an open book, and he's a very lively guy, and he had cameras on him, in that whole process, hoping to get in, and it was devastating to see him just be so disappointed. Carmichael, I thought, was – You know, again, the whole is very good. And is it the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Very Good? And I thought Carmichael, I would have preferred Drew Pearson over Carmichael in that one. But listen, I'm not gonna begrudge Harold Carmichael in the Hall of Fame.
I'm just saying that Pearson should be in. I mean, that's.
Yep.
I agree. How again was this part of the class determined?
All right, Evan. This is called a blue ribbon panel. All right. Now the Hall of Fame several years ago had an eye toward this 100-year anniversary, and they wanted to have a bigger class to kind of take care of things that, you know, there's always a backlog of players, coaches, and administrators, always. And they felt that, you know, 100-year anniversary, we could do a one-shot deal, bigger class. And rather than have them go through the same process as players go through now, you know, we sit in a room for 9 hours on Saturday before the Super Bowl, they appointed a blue-ribbon panel, including, I believe, Polian was on it, Belichick was on it, handful of Hall of Fame voters, people picked by the Hall of Fame that they felt could kind of add some weight, some legitimacy to who they were picking. And, you know, you got Bill Belichick coming out there, and he went to that last meeting in Canton where they voted. You had a lot of good football people. Ron Wolf was on there as well. So there were a lot of good football people, and they wanted to do this, in their minds, a one-shot deal. There was some bickering early on in the process where the Hall of Fame voters, myself included, were like, well, why are you treating this class differently? Why are you letting them go through, not the vetting process and the voting process that the regular people? But, you know, this is their deal, and this is their Hall of Fame, and that's how they wanted to do it. So, and I learned something, though. You know, there's a guy, Joe Horrigan, who was at the Hall of Fame for many, many years. He was the PR director there, an institution in football. And Joe, I said to Joe, you got to have more spots, man. We have so many deserving players. And this was when the backlog with the receivers was going on, Chris Carter, Tim Brown, and Andre Reed. I said, Joe, you got to have more spots. It's killing us. And Joe says, Bob, if we have 7 spots and we make it 8, people will want 9. If we make it 9, people are going to say 10, and so on. And I actually left a message for him after this one because I said, Joe, you got 15 spots, and it wasn't enough. You needed 20. So he's right about that. There's always more deserving people. But that's another reason why it is so special and such a unique fraternity that is so freaking hard to get in there.
Coming up. I guess the night before the Super Bowl, they're going to name the newest enshrinees, okay, the modern era, whatever you want to call it. Who gets in your mind? I think it's only 5 guys that are getting in. Who gets in your mind?
I don't have the list in front of me.
Troy Polamalu's got to get in, doesn't he?
I think Polamalu is the one guy who is the,
the lock.
I think he is the lock. I think Steve Hutchinson, the longtime guard, gets in. Do you have the list in front of you?
Yeah, I got it for you right now.
All right.
Isaac Bruce. You want me to just read it real quick?
You know what we'll do? If you want me to predict yes or no, we could do that.
I'll give you each guy. We did that with Joe yesterday. Isaac Bruce.
I don't think so. I think he has got credentials, but I just don't think in this group he's going to make it.
Leroy Butler.
Possible, but there's a glut at safety.
Alan Faneca.
Possible there's a glut at line, and I think Hutchinson's the guy.
Torrey Holt.
I think he's going to get squeezed just by numbers.
Don't they both got to get in, Holt and Bruce, those guys?
I do. I think over time they both will and should.
Hutchinson, you said you think gets in.
And Polamalu.
And Polamalu. Right. Edgerrin James.
Yes.
Really?
He should get
in.
He's
been a finalist a bunch of times.
Really?
Yes. Yes, it's his turn. It's time. Yes.
Really? So, okay. I disagree on him.
He's a Hall of Fame running back.
I don't see it, but that's
his
me.
His numbers stack up as well as anybody. And, you know, maybe he was a little bit understated in the way he played, kind of quietly. He wasn't even an accumulator. He was dynamic.
He was. I just never looked at him as that. But go ahead. We'll disagree on him.
John Lynch.
I think he's got a chance to get in this year. I think there's going to be some sentiment for him to get in.
Doesn't Rondé Barber have to get in before him? From that defense?
No.
Really?
No, I don't think so. I think, I think Lynch has played more years. He had a good run in Denver. The knock against him is, box safety limited. But, man, the guy is a great tackler. great leader, had a lot of success with all his teams. And I think the body of work is longer than Rondé's.
Isn't Rondé the only guy to have like 30 sacks and 30 interceptions as a defensive back?
Yeah, no, he was a dynamic player.
You think he's a Hall of Famer, Rondé?
I think he is a Hall of Famer, but I think it's going to take him some time. Okay. It hasn't been that long.
All right.
Yeah, Lynch has been a finalist 7 times.
He's been
on that doorstep. So we got one more slot left. You have filled 4 of the 5 slots. Sam Mills.
No. Really good player. Love little guys who succeed, but I just don't think he's at that level. I think there will be some good debate about him because I think a lot of people in the room feel strongly about Sam Mills. I don't know that he's going to get in.
Richard Seymour.
I love Seymour as a player, and I have put him in the finals before. I think he's probably going to get not enough sentiment. To get over the hump.
Before I let you go,
gut feeling now.
Real quickly, because I said this yesterday, when I think of those Patriot teams, doesn't Willie McGinnis have to go before him?
Possibly. I think he had the more dynamic numbers, and he's played a different position where he could kind of excel and be showy.
He also was on that Super Bowl team with Parcells, too.
Yeah. And Parcells loved both of those guys. Seymour, more you know, is a Belichick guy, and I think he did tremendous work, and I think he was good in Oakland. He did a lot of the dirty work, and Belichick used him perfectly for what his physical attributes were.
The last three guys: Zach Thomas, Reggie Wayne, Bryant Young. So, any of those three to fill out the fifth slot?
I think Wayne has a chance. I think Thomas, the smallness, but there is production there, and I think there is a sentiment for him possibly this year. And Young,
he was a very good player with the Niners. I'm watching him right now. We're watching the 97 championship game. We're watching Bryant Young right now.
Yeah. No, Bryant Young and a lot of people.
He was good.
Parcells loved that guy.
Yeah.
So there's 5, right?
Yeah, you nailed it. Bob, always great.
Bob, you know we love
you,
Bob. It's always a pleasure, Bob.
All right, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Bob Blobber and Newsday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.